1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show. In a moment, we're going to mention the situation at Burger King. Burger King has said it will make its suppliers follow guidelines for humane animal treatment. Apparently, there have been some criticisms about the way animals are being slaughtered and some of the meat served at Burger King. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is going to join us and talk to us about the kinds of the kind of meat that they sell at their restaurant and how animals are treated in that process. But first, we've got to tell you we've raised $125,739.50 for My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And if you'd like to help them, you can call 877-616-PHIL and buy a stinking CD. We appreciate all of you guys who've come through for us. You guys that listen to this program with absolutely no charge, no gun held to your head. How about buying a CD? How about a little $20 donation to the fine people of My Friend's Place? You'll be glad you did. Ted Bell is on the line from Beverly Hills. I know it's kind of a busy, getting ready for a busy weekend for you, Ted. Did I call you Tid or Ted?
I sound like Ted to me, Phil.
Okay. I know it's a busy weekend week for you, getting ready for a even busier weekend because it's the first weekend after daylight savings.
Yeah, we seem to, and I don't know why it is. We seem to get an upswing in business. I guess it's because the sun is it stays brighter later, and people are more apt to go out to dinner.
Okay, tell me about this situation at Burger King, and then tell me about your restaurant. Officials for the Miami-based company called said it will abide by the American Meat Institute's good management practices for animal handling and stunning.
Well, first of all, that is a voluntary abiding by the guidelines by Burger King. Burger King is located in Miami. I think that's the company you were talking about, Phil.
And they said that they would abide by that?
They said they'd abide by that. A lot of the measures are aimed at goals like making suppliers stun animals before slaughtering them. And I guess the Burger King people said that they always believed in humane treatment of animals. A lot of those officials at Burger King said the announcement was based on recommendations from an expert panel before PETA launched a boycott. And let me comment on this. At my restaurant, we don't back down from threats by PETA. Of all the organizations that you're going to take seriously, Phil, and of all the organizations that that you would want to be intimidated by, and PETA's the last one on my list. There is nothing about that organization that I find even the least bit intimidating. There's nothing about anybody at PETA that would even begin to tell you that they're connected.
All right, well, besides not being intimidated by PETA, you have some fundamental differences with this so-called slaughtering, ethical slaughtering.
I don't think there's any unethical way of slaughtering it. It so happens that we serve a very good product, and the quality of the steak we serve is in direct proportion to the way the animal is ultimately executed, the way the animal is ultimately treated. When you chase and scare an animal before you slaughter it, some people may consider that to be cruel, but the adrenaline pumps through the animal. It actually makes the meat more tender and flavorful. And we have, for 25 years, never hid this from our customers. And
hid what? That you chase the beef before you slaughter it?
We have, for 25 years, assured our customers that the beef we use has been chased, scared almost to death, and then slaughtered. Now, our suppliers...
You tell your customers that?
We tell our customers that the beef is high in adrenaline content and therefore is very flavorful and therefore is very tender. And obviously this comes from a long-honored practice, Phil. This is not something that's new. The time-honored practice of chasing an animal over the open range, scaring it repeatedly, and then slaughtering it. In fact, we are one of the few remaining restaurants that provide steaks from steer that have been guaranteed on a cattle drive, driven across the prairie in a cattle drive. And we're talking about...
Where is the cattle driven? You guys drive, the steaks you buy are from steers that have been in a cattle drive.
Generally from the beef growing areas of Texas and Oklahoma, that's correct.
To where?
To the major rail centers. And in the Midwest, you're generally talking about Missouri and Kansas. Stunning the cow or executing the cow in a so-called humane fashion really, Phil, destroys the taste, the tenderness, and of course, the danger of infection.
All right, let me talk to you straight here, Ted. We're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, 1-800-449-8686. They have a steakhouse. You have a steakhouse. The steaks that you serve are from animals that have been chased and scared and almost scared to death and then slaughtered.
That's correct.
All right, the question that I have is, I had a question for you. The question that I want to ask you then is this idea of a cattle drive. How, I thought, first of all, was no longer in use.
What is the cattle drive?
That's right.
Oh, no, they still use, they still drive cattle. The cattle drive is still very much a part of how we take a lot of beef to market. Not a lot of restaurants use that meat. Not a lot of PETA and a lot of these people, these ethical animal treatment centers, they try to, they basically have been trying to shut down the cattle drives for a good 35 years. But, no, we still purchase our beef from those suppliers that have made sure the steer have been on a cattle drive, have been driven for days until they find water and then eaten open grassland. And we think that it is a tremendous flavorful steak, and it comes from a cow that's almost been frightened to death and has been driven hard. And
all right, what about the cruelty? That's what I wanted to ask you. What about the cruelty to the animal aspect to all of this?
Phil, this is not cruelty to an animal. First of all, the cow, the steer, is one of the dumbest animals in nature. Now, this is not a dog. This isn't a cat. This isn't a monkey. It's not a dolphin. It's a cow. It is so stupid, so utterly stupid, that the cow doesn't really realize what's happening to itself. It eats grass. It eliminates waste. It's whipped across the prairie. It gets slaughtered, and then it dies. And
all right, but if it doesn't know what's happening to itself, then why does it get scared?
That's purely a physical adrenaline reaction. There is no emotion of fear that a cow feels. So there is no real unethical way to treat a steer and no unethical way to treat a cow. That's why the number one concern that we have in the steakhouse business is that we serve up a flavorful steak. Animals are here to serve us. When the adrenaline is forced through the meat, they're much more tender and juicy. And the human species is the dominant species. This is a conversation that I always have to have with people, a lot of the people who visit the restaurant, because people have this idea that cows are like people, that they feel. Cows lick the inside of their own nostril. That's how stupid they are. This is how stupid they are. And I think that people need to understand this, and they're going to live a lot happier. And by the way, Ted's of Beverly Hills is the only steakhouse that I am aware of in Southern California which uses meat from the stunned cow, or from the non-stunned cow, I should say, the cow that's scared to death.
And well, this is news, obviously, that doesn't fall on the ears of animal activists or the people at PETA or anything else. It doesn't fall on their ears with a happy sound. These are people who believe that these animals are treated badly and that they want them to be stunned.
But a stunned cow, Phil, the other thing is the danger of infection from the stunned cow, because if you eat the meat from a stunned cow, there is, and of course we now know so much about mad cow disease, we now know that people who eat the meat of a stunned cow can take on the stunned trait of the cow. Test scores have dropped, driving skills are lowered. You eat a steak from a stunned cow, you possibly could be driving impaired. And then
you're talking about eating the meat of a stunned cow causing the human who eats that meat to be stunned.
We are right now backing House Bill 35A. It's sponsored by a very good friend of mine, Kirk Stafford, which makes it a felony to drive stunned by proxy, and that's basically aimed at a lot of these steakhouses that are serving stunned steaks. So DSBP, you eat a stunned cow steak and you could go to jail. These are the things that we're talking about.
Eat a stunned cow steak.
Because the stunned aspect of the meat does begin to pervade the mind of the recipient. We don't, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, serve any steak from any cow that's been stunned. And that's...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. What were you going to say?
That's just the way we've been doing business for 25 years.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Ted from Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's a steakhouse. And all of this came about because Burger King was accused of apparently preparing hamburgers from the meat of cows that were inhumanely slaughtered or steer. And apparently he believes, Ted says, that they don't serve a steak in their restaurant that isn't from a cow or steer that hasn't been chased and scared, because apparently the adrenaline makes the meat a lot more tender. The other thing that he is mentioning is the sponsoring of a House bill here in the state of California, which makes eating the meat of a stunned steak or a stunned cow steak illegal because you could drive impaired. Now, I've never heard of that, and I'd certainly like to see the scientific liturgy or literature on that. That if a cow is stunned and then I eat the steak, I'm suddenly stupid or I get more stunned or something. Is that what he said? All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back to talk to Ted Bell. Oh, and also, isn't he serving up steak that's from beeves that have been on a cattle drive? That one. 1-800-449-8686. Okay, turn that off. Turn it off. We don't need the rawhide theme, and I don't want to treat this with any other kind of commentary than the dignity that it deserves, the possible cruelty to animals, or the possibility that cows are too stupid to even know that someone's scaring them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on to talk with us. As a restaurant owner, Ted, you understand that you have a lot of competitors. Now, Burger King says that they're going to abide by the humane treatment of animals or how they're slaughtered.
This is all, Phil, a lot of it is public relations, and Burger King doesn't want the bad PR.
Well, okay, but Burger King wants to use meat from animals that have been humanely slaughtered. You say an animal that's humanely slaughtered is not as flavorful as one that has been chased, scared.
Well, I'll put it to you simply, the most flavorful and tender meat comes from the steer or cow that has been scared to death. Now, on Survivor...
Scared to death.
That is correct. If you can chase a cow and just scare the hell out of it, you have got one of the porterhouse, tender as a mother's heart. The pig on Survivor. Do you remember the pig on Survivor?
Yeah, the one that they stabbed. And they scared that one.
They scared that. Probably the best pork chops came out of that pig. Scared the crap out of that pig. And I'll tell you right now, that's a pork chop. It's a shame to see them bow to the animal extremists, is all I'm saying. So I guess if you want some good meat, you need to come to my place. Look.
1-800-449-8686. LB on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
I wouldn't be caught dead in your place. I mean, animals feel pain.
You don't want a good steak.
Hey, let me say what I've had plenty of good steaks. I'm a meat eater, and I tell you something. Animals should be treated humanely. They feel pain. They have central nervous systems, and they do feel pain.
But they don't register the information the same way. They don't think if somebody's being cruel to me. It's just pain. Okay.
Because pain.
Yeah, it's not. There's no intelligence that connects the pain to anything other than that's painful.
Well, I don't think it's right. It's very wrong
LB,
to do that.
Look at you want to bow to the animal extremists. That's your.
There's no extremists. There's not people who are extreme. I'm not extreme. I eat animals all the time.
Okay.
But I want the meat to be humanely treated.
Well,
I want animals.
Do you want a good steak or do you not? Do you want a good steak or do you not?
No, not if it's the price I have to pay.
When you've had a steak from an animal that's been chased and screwed with and then killed.
What do you mean screwed with?
Are you listening to yourself talk about how stunned? If I eat a steak that's been from a cow that's been stunned and it was processed a month ago, whatever it was, that I'm going to drive erratically or something? Get an argument that people will believe, okay?
I happen to have an argument based upon House Bill 34A, which is sponsored by State Senator Kirk Stafford.
Oh, and I'm sure you're paying him off plenty to do this. All the laws that get passed are passed by politicians who are in your pocket. And
what I'm saying is that animal that has been stunned, you're telling me you willingly eat the meat of a stunned animal?
Absolutely. I'd rather do that
explains this conversation then.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, you can't even figure out what I just said.
I think that your argument is ludicrous.
I
think that anybody who believes this is an idiot.
How do you scare an animal to death?
There are a number of ways. Are you a cop?
Am I a cop? No.
Yeah. What is that radio I hear?
No, I thought I was off the air.
What? You got a radio in there?
He's probably, what, a truck driver, LB?
No, I'm in the clothing business.
We scare a cow to death by putting a bed sheet over another cow's. You know, you can do the cow ghost thing. There's a lot of things you can do. Okay?
Hey, and listen, we can agree to disagree. I think it's the wrong thing to do.
Well, if you don't think the cow ghost thing, but I will tell you this much, that if you continue to eat the meat from a stunned cow, you are running the risk of just getting dumber and dumber as the days go by.
Yeah, that's the risk I'm willing to take. I mean, this is pretty scientific stuff you've come up with.
What
politician wants a law because you're paying him money, and then you're going to get... I mean, come on.
You should pull over and relinquish. All right, fine. But what I'm saying to you, mark my words.
I eat the meat of a stunned cow, and the stunnedness rubs off on me?
Yes.
I think it already did. Maybe it's true.
Oh, okay, well, maybe it's true then. And if it's true for me, it's true for you, LV.
All right, sir, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean you put a sheet over another cow with whole eyes, the eyes? What do you mean cow ghost? I don't understand.
You're asking me about how the animals are scared. And you can do it a variety of ways.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joanna on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Yes.
I like to totally disagree with the whole fact about eating a stunned cow will make you stunned and stupid.
Let me ask you something, Joanna. I think I already know the answer to this. Do you eat the meat of a stunned cow?
I don't think I care whether the meat was stunned or scared. I don't think that I'm going to be stunned.
You don't feel stunned.
Eating a scared cow.
You don't feel stunned.
No, I don't feel stunned. Do you think I'm going to feel scared from eating the meat from a scared cow then?
No, I do not.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Jerry on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
How's it going?
Yes, sir.
First point, the fact that the meat tastes better when there's adrenaline flowing through the body, that is simply ludicrous. I've eaten beef.
Wait a minute. Before I start getting opinions from all kinds of people, how do you know?
I'm going to tell you, but see, okay, first of all, I would appreciate if you'd respect my opinion.
That's right. I just want to make the point, though, Phil, that I have before me House Bill 35A, co-sponsored by...
We got that. Kirk Stafford, I understand that.
Okay, anyway, first of all, my family comes from a long line of cattle raisers here in Texas. I have eaten cattle that has been scared before it was slaughtered. And then I've eaten cattle that was slaughtered before it ever even knew what hit it.
How do you know it was scared? How do you know?
And I was raised around it. I've been there. I've been there
so
at the time of slaughter.
So you saw it actively scared?
I've been there at the time of slaughter. And I'm going to tell you, what makes more of a difference in what that meat tastes like is what that cow was fed and how that cow was taken care of prior to the slaughter and how the meat was prepared
rather than
the fact that the adrenaline, you know, was flowing through the body so much that it caused the animal to...
I appreciate your experience as a breeder or as a grower of cattle. You have to appreciate my experience as a restaurant owner as the purveyor of the steak. And I can tell you, you can sneak up behind a cow, scare hell out of it, and you've got yourself the best-tasting steak that money can buy.
And if you believe that, you are an imbecile.
Jerry, I didn't insult you. Why do you feel the need to insult me?
What about this stunned to death thing or the fact that the stunnedness will wear off?
That's a load of mess. First of all, first of all, what I would like to know, I'd like to ask you a question, really.
Yes, sir.
And that's what sources would you cite as getting the scientific evidence that eating meat from a stunted cow causes
First of all, you can look at a couple of reports out of the University of California, Chico. As I said to Mr. Henry, and he keeps trying to cut me off, I have State Senator Stafford's bill.
I'm not trying to cut you off. You've been referring to State Senator Stafford's bill for the last half hour.
You may find it funny wherein he describes the deleterious effects of eating stunned meat by proxy, which is DSBP, and that we're trying to keep these people off the road. You come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and you're not going to eat any stunned meat. You're going to eat meat from a cow that got the Christ scared out of it. And I can tell you right now, you chase a cow down dressed as Lorne Greene from Bonanza, a cow's going to recognize the strength, crap its pants, and it's dead.
Yeah. I respect that you have your opinion, that's fine, but
yeah, really
I just think it's ludicrous.
You know, you really sound like you respect me. I don't think you respect me at all, and it hurts.
No, I respect your opinion.
No, I think it hurts. It hurts a great deal.
All right. Gee, that's too bad. 1-800-449...
Now that hurts.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
are a lot of fun.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse is in Beverly Hills, California. They use only the meat from cows that have been scared to death or have been scared really good before they're slaughtered, not stunned, because you say it's not as tasty. And you're also saying that eating the meat from a stunned cow will cause the recipient to take on the stunned effects. And
Absolutely. Because what happens, Phil, is a lot of neurotransmitters are released into the system, and this is stuff that a lot of your listeners don't understand, so they're not in any position to tell me, biochemically, whether I'm right or not.
Well, you're not a doctor, so you can't tell me that, because I go out and eat steak from a cow that got stunned, that I'm suddenly going to have a lower test score. You said...
Well, you go out, go ahead, eat a cow, eat steak from a stunned cow. Go to Ruth's Chris, go to some of these places where they so-called have meat from animals that were slaughtered humanely, and you'll walk out of there so stupid, you'll walk out of there, and there's a good chance you'll walk out of there dumber than the cow you ate. Now think of that. That's why Kirk Stafford, a state senator, is co-sponsoring this bill. That's why we support it. And that's why in Southern California, the only place to eat a steak is Ted's of Beverly Hills, where the animal is chased, scared almost to death, and then slaughtered.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Mike, yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, first of all, I'm not going to insult your caller.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just going to tell you.
I appreciate that very much.
First, I was raised on a ranch.
Uh-huh.
And raised... Angus.
You were raised on Angus.
We raised Angus cows.
You were raised as Angus cows? I don't know.
Angus cows.
Yes.
All right, sir.
Best steaks come from certified Angus cows. Second, your cow drive theory will drive a person out of business.
How did you scare a
cow? Because you're going to drive... You're going to drive the meat right off of them and make them hard.
That's what I was thinking.
What you're doing is you're scaring the cow.
Muscle, all that muscle is...
You're scaring the cow. How did you scare a cow before the slaughter, by the way?
I went all the way from when they were shooting them to the darts and now the stuns.
But you scared them first, didn't you?
At the present time... Okay. I own 12 steakhouses.
And you were raised as an Angus cow.
And the only thing I serve
is
black Angus.
All right. How are they scared? Hello, Mike? Mike? Okay, see, Mike was raised as an Angus cow, number one. And number two, Mike eats stunned beef. And that's what I'm talking about. He could be stupider than the cow that he ate.
I know, I got that already. I think what happened was his car phone went out. Here is Fred on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, you're basically making the same point that other guy made. Here is Judy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Judy.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, this gentleman, Ted, I think he's preposterous for saying such things. I mean,
can I ask your qualifications before you begin to characterize my opinions?
Yes, I'm a businesswoman of 22 years in my own legal practice.
Have you ever been involved in the scaring and subsequent slaughter of Black Angus?
As of scaring, no. My father does own a ranch, though, in Utah.
Right, you did not personally scare a Black Angus?
I've never personally scared a Black Angus. But...
Were you raised also as an Angus cow? Because the last guy...
He didn't say he was raised as an Angus cow. He raised Angus cows.
Go ahead.
I don't see how at all you can even begin to say that this is true.
Well, ma'am, I offered Mr. Henry findings from the School of Animal Husbandry at the California State University of Chico.
There's no such thing.
There's no California State University of Chico.
Not for the class that whatever you took. There
well,
no
Judy,
art.
Judy, there is an art called animal husbandry, so obviously you haven't been around cows or anything. This is Phil Henry. I'm the host,
Judy, leave the information of the industry to the experts, okay?
Animal husbandry is breeding animals. You've never heard of that? Judy. Okay, so apparently we caught her in being a little dumb. And
there's another person that ate some stunned beef for breakfast.
Okay.
You have got more in it. This is the thing that scares me. You got a 22-year... First of all, she said she was a 22-year-old businesswoman. She sounded like a battle axe of 50. Secondly...
Well, wait a second, man. The lady was making a point that she'd never heard about the whole, you know, eating the meat of a stunned animal. And so, therefore, she...
Therefore, she goes ahead and eats the meat of a stunned animal, calls your show, and sounds stunned. What we are asking is for people to pick up the phone, call State Senator Kirk Stafford. Let's get House Bill 35A on its way, because if you got people out there eating stunned beef, they're going to be driving around under the influence of a stunned cow, and we can't have that. And scaring the animal is the only way. And I'm telling you now, if you can get a sheet, get a costume, anything, a cheetah costume, scare a cow and save this state from the ultimate embarrassment of people driving around with a stunned cow sitting shotgun, almost with a stunned cow sitting shotgun and a gun to your head.
All right. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, we appreciate your phone call. And, of course, no, we will not call Kirk Stafford. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here. Stunned cows, huh? All right, I got to tell you, just if you folks will forgive me, Mike, what are you doing to me over here? Booking this guy from Ted's of Beverly Hills is going to drive, it's going to put me on a cattle drive. And then I've got a guy calling up and saying that he was raised as an Angus cow. He didn't raise Angus cows. His parents put a little Angus suit on him and raised him as an Angus cow. Because they thought that that would somehow ready him for the world. Somehow being raised as a dairy cow gets you set for the tribulations and pitfalls of life. I don't agree. And that's putting it mildly. Well, today we wrapped up the little experience that I've been having over the last couple of days. I told you that I've been a part of... Oh, you're saying that that last caller wore his older brother's hand-me-down Angus suit? Thank you for that, Melissa. I didn't know. I today wrapped up that little experience I've been having shooting that TV pilot, and I just wanted to tell you my further adventures there on the set with some really nice people. It's just, I cannot overstate how truly fun it's been. It's been the very first time I've ever stepped in front of a television camera, and I've had a blast, and we'll see what happens. A TV pilot is a TV pilot. Sometimes they get picked up for what they call, you know, they order episodes, and it actually becomes a TV show, and sometimes it's just a stinking pilot, and it never goes anywhere. Does it mean it's going to air if it's a TV pilot? Will they air the pilot? Doesn't even mean it'll go to air. But one of the things I noticed today, so I showed up at this, it was a location in Los Angeles. I showed up, and I had my little clothes with me. And I went into my little dressing room that they have, and then I went and I talked to some of the crew people, and I watched as they were setting the cameras up and the cables and the other actors that were there, and I was talking to them, and very nice people, everybody, it's terrific. And then I'm like, you know, one of the people said to me, actually, before I was getting into my clothes, he said, Phil, do you want some breakfast? I said, notice how everything I talk about comes back to food. Do you notice this? You know, the other day I was in Nepal, and I was staring at a 1,500-year-old temple, and I was thinking, can I get some pizza? Anyway, I'm just thinking this. Every time I open my mouth in this show now, when I'm just talking to the audience, it comes back to something having to do with food. Okay, so here it is. She says, you want some breakfast? I just want to do my thing. I had a couple of pieces of cheese for breakfast. That's what I had for breakfast. And then I started pumping the coffee into me. So the guy, they got this catering truck, and maybe you've heard wherever in your travels, maybe you've heard of this term craft services. You know what that is? Craft services are the guys that bring the food to TV and movie sets where you eat, where the actors eat, craft services. It's like a big catering truck. It's like a truck, like when I worked in construction, we used to, every day at 10 o'clock, we'd hear, And there'd be the truck pulling in to the job site that we were working on. We'd throw down our hammers, throw off our nail belts. We'd go over and get some, like a mid-morning snack or maybe some lunch. Or actually, we took off and had lunch someplace else. Well, this truck that we would have when I was in construction work would have maybe some turkey sandwiches, whatever the hell it had. This craft services truck, on about 11:30, I'm smelling, you know, it just smelled fantastic. So I go over there to get a cup of coffee. He said, what are you cooking up there, man? Yes, sir, we got Chilean sea bass. Chilean sea bass? Sure, we got pork chops. We are working a little bit of pork chops and rice. We've got a nice etouffee and an etouffee. Well, how about a little jambalaya went into the subject? Yeah, we got that too. And just a really nice thing in it. Holy God. Good. Chilean sea bass. When's the last time you saw a catering truck pull up with Chilean sea bass and the guys in there grilling it up? And I saw guys getting pancakes and sausage, and it was beautiful. And my mind went back 20, good God, almost 30 years. My mind went back to those days when I'd be out there in the hot Orlando, Florida sun, you know, putting on a few muscles because I was driving nails, digging ditches, 19 years old, 18 years old, doing my thing. And when that Dots on the Dot truck pulled in, man, if she ever said she had Chilean sea bass in there, I'd marry her. And some of those women, you know, that's you're taking a big jump. You're really putting your neck on the line, but I'd do it. What do you got?
Got Chilean sea bass. I've got some nice pork chops. And we're cooking up some beef bourguignon and also duck l'orange. And it's just all happening. It's you know, we're living large. Okay.
So I just thought that was
creme brulee and a baklava. And
yeah, sure. I'll take some of that. Well, anyway, I thought I'd tell you guys about that. It's just, it's a nice way to live. I could get used to that whole bit. Get used to that whole scene, baby. And they got everybody coming over. Phil, where's your clothes? Right here. Phil, do you want a cup of coffee? Sure, I do. Hey, Phil, you look ugly. Huh? Thanks a lot. Ha ha, just kidding. Okay. And, hey, Phil, you know, whatever. Do you want a chair? Yeah, at one scene, it was really funny. I was standing all through they were shooting the scene, and I'm standing there with my scene partner, who's a very nice lady, and we're talking and standing, and I'm trying to stretch my back. Finally, somebody said, do you want a chair, Phil? Sure. They bring over two beautiful chairs. I'm about to sit my fat rear end, and they go, okay, Phil, we're ready for you. Okay, so that's great. Had to go over and do that, and what else happened? Just really neat stuff. When we're doing a location shoot out on a street, a lot of people slow down. Then a tour bus went by. And I saw all the little faces in the bus kind of pressing their noses up against the glass, staring with their little flattened noses up against the glass. I was wondering, I wonder if they think I'm anybody. You know, as the guy in the craft services truck was going, we have pheasant under glass. We have, okay, I get it. But I thought, well, gee, I wonder if they think I'm someone. And then I pulled out some sunglasses and put them on so I could look like, you know, Dash Riprock. And it was a great experience. Yeah, Dash Riprock, man. So, I don't know. So, who's the dude on, what was the cat on Beverly Hillbillies, the dude? Was it Dash Riprock? Well, that was Fred Flintstone. Who was the guy on Beverly Hillbillies? Who was that cat with the processed pompadour who wanted to date Ellie Mae? He was a movie star that Mr. Drysdale sent around to the Beverly freaking Hillbilly house so he could take Ellie Mae out, get the old weasel greased, come on back. Eventually, he'd marry into the family. That would mean Mr. Drysdale would have his hook sunk even deeper into the Beverly stinking Hillbillies. I think it was Dash Riprock. In any event, that's who I thought that they thought that maybe that I was. So it was really kind of a fun experience. But I got to tell you one thing. Getting up at 5:30 in the morning, here's the deal. And I ain't saying that Brad Pitt's got a tough life. Please don't think that I'm saying that this guy. But it is pretty early to start working. 6:45. I mean, working. And there's no slack. You get there, and right away, okay, Phil, you ready to go into makeup? Okay, we need to get you. They need you in makeup right now. Man, no sooner I get out of my car, it's like, got to go in there and get a makeup, and you got to go to the thing. And, you know, the other question I had, and I don't know whether I should say this or not, because some of these folks I just worked with today, they're very nice people. Is there a law that says the dude in makeup has got to be gay? Can't there be any straight people who work? Seriously, can't there be one guy that's straight, that very nice guy? I had no problem. I was just thinking that as he was putting the makeup on me. I just think, you know, Well, you just, how would I, hey, how you doing? Yeah, great. I don't know. I have a little golf. I go to the football game. My daughter, she turned 3 last week, and my wife and I are going to be going to Mexico. And what do you do down there? Oh, I just, you know, I just suck tequila, and we screw all day. Oh, okay, great. Oh, yeah. That's you know, unusual. You sure you're in makeup? Huh? Oh, yeah, I love it. Love putting on powdered wigs and things. I do costuming, too. It's great. I love it. But as soon as you hit that thing, man, there, let's go, Phil. Got to move, 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 move. Go, go, go. Put on the thing, and then you stand and you wait because they're doing something else. Larry Pinnell played Dash Riprock on Beverly Hillbillies. All right, then who was the dude on the Flintstones? I don't know who that guy was. It was Rock Hudson? Or well, that's a real guy. I don't know. How did they... So anyway, I would love to go back to the days of yore when all the actors had the processed pompadours with the, you know, like the $8 shades and those skin-tight kind of Levi's, you know, with the Chico Jr. boots. And they got the open kind of Dick Shawn shirt and, you know, the big teeth newly capped. And they're waiting for their moment. You know, I'd love to do that. In fact, the next time I get, if I'm lucky enough to get a job, I'm going to show up looking like that. And I was the oldest guy in the set, by the way. There were everybody there was younger than me. This is it now, man. This is it. This is the beginning of the end. This is Grandpa Phil is on the air. This is the beginning of the long, slow, ever inexorable descent into the Pacific. The passengers screaming up front, people praying, vomit bags out. We're on our way in. I love you, Ma. We're going in. I mean, I was the oldest guy. Rock Hudson was on the Flintstones because his name was perfect. He didn't need to change it. That, according to Melissa, I think you're lying, but okay. Are you putting me on? Rock Hudson was on the Flintstones and he didn't need to change his name? All right, so anyway, today I'm the oldest guy there. There's kids. The director is a guy that could be my kid brother. I'm not quite old enough to be his father, but he'd be my kid brother. One of the actors, of course, I'm playing his dad. So they're all young guys, you know, and I'm looking at all of them just full of energy, and they're all full of life. They're just looking great, and I'm thinking, God, when does the drug addiction begin? It's about 5 years. You'll be over there at the Formosa throwing them back. God damn it. No, I'm kidding. That's a very negative take on life. It's humorously cynical, but it's still a very negative take on life. But you know, I mean, half those guys are going to be out of they're going to be out of the city in about 3 years when their parents cut them off, and they'll be back home. You know, going back to school to take chemical engineering or some kind of tie-dyeing or whatever it is, you know, crocheting, macrame, go back into the basket business, maybe go and work in the grease rack with your old man, watch the rack go up and down, hanging out with Joaquin Phoenix at the Viper Room. But anyway, oh, how many of you guys want to go to the Viper Room? Let's go! So it was a really a lot of fun, but I had to tell you guys about this catering truck. I'm telling you, Craig, Chilean sea bass, they had it going on, pork chops, steaks, they had filet mignon, they had beef medallions, duck l'orange, they had a sort of a spiced duck, they had a paprika chicken, they were serving up, you think I'm kidding? I am. I don't know if they had paprika chicken, okay? That last part, I'm lying. Mike is nodding his head going, holy crap, can we have that on this gig? You know, why don't we start bringing that stuff in here, okay? I tell you what, you buy next week. Great. Phil Hendry Show. So that's how it is to be like a glamorous guy.